Good to be with you tonight, and we appreciate the fact that you've come. There are a lot of things that could bring a people together, but I know of no greater purpose under heaven than that for which we've come together tonight, to sing, to pray, and to study. And we're grateful for your interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We encourage you to get your Bible, to search the scriptures, to feel free to take whatever notes you might like to take that you might have this material for your further and future study. We're going to call reference to a number of scriptures, and you may or may not have time to turn to all of those. I would encourage you to jot those down that you might be able to go back and read and study those in more detail. Thank you for the good singing, the good song that we just sang together that sets the stage for the things we want to talk about tonight. 10,000 angels. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone for you and me. That springs from the book of Matthew chapter 26, where we read the garden scene, where they bound the hands of Jesus. And in verse 52, Jesus said, "Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" To give us a greater appreciation for the death of Christ upon the cross, I want us to think for just a few moments tonight. Had Jesus called 10,000 angels to set him free, just where would we be? I begin by suggesting to you, first of all, from the text, that had Jesus called 10,000 angels, scriptures would be unfulfilled. For the prophets prophesied that Jesus would die. Isaiah, for example, in the heart of all prophecy, Isaiah chapter 53, and in verse 9, said he made his grave. And then in verse 12, he said, poured out his soul unto death. But had Jesus called 10,000 angels, there'd been no grave made. There'd been no death. And so the scriptures of the prophets would be unfulfilled. But the fact that he didn't come down, the fact that he stayed on the cross and he didn't call 10,000 angels, affirms our faith in the authenticity and integrity of the volume that lies open before us. The holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. And I stand upon the truth that Paul stated in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Fulfilled prophecy is one of the greatest evidences that the Bible is the product of God and it's not of human origin. But had he come down, or had he called 10,000 angels, then scriptures would be unfulfilled. But then again, as you think about Where would we be had Jesus called 10,000 angels to set him free? You know, no sin would have been born. In Isaiah 53 and in verse 12, the prophet said, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he is numbered with the transgressors," listen, "and he bare the sin of many." Then in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Peter penned, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Because he didn't call 10,000 angels to set him free, we can sing, "He bore it all." But had he made that call, no sin would have been born. Again from Isaiah 53 and verse 12, this is where we'd be tonight had Jesus called 10,000 angels to set him free. There'd be no intercession. The last statement of verse 12 says, "made intercession for the transgressors." That intercession was made possible by his death on the cross. It was Paul who penned in Romans 8 and verse 34, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And then in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, "He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." But had Jesus called 10,000 angels, we would be without an intercessor. There'd be no intercession. But furthermore, had Jesus called 10,000 angels, no blood would have been shed. For Jesus shed his blood in his death. Remember in John 19 when they came to Jesus and they saw that he was dead already, verse 33. They didn't break his legs like they did the thieves on either side of him. But one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. That's John 19, 33 and 34. Had Jesus called 10,000 angels, the blood would not have come out as expressed in that passage. Have you thought about the situation if the blood of Christ had not been shed? In the institution of the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many." There are a lot of things that are made possible tonight by the blood of Christ. Had Jesus called 10,000 angels, no blood would have been shed. And if that were the case, then there'd be no remission of sins. For Jesus said, "His blood was shed for many." Why? For the remission of sins, Matthew 26, 28. That word remission is a interesting word. It literally means forgiveness or pardon. And it's the idea that your sins can be let go as if they were never committed. For under the new covenant, God's promise is, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." One of the restoration companies that has been very busy in your area lately, Servpro, has as its slogan, "Like it never even happened." It's amazing how that a building can be burned or suffer flooding, and their people can come in and through the restoration work make it like it never even happened. It's a beautiful thing. And by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, that's the way it can be with your soul. The sins that have been committed, the Lord has the ability, if you'll let him, to make it like it never even happened. But that wouldn't be possible had Jesus called 10,000 angels to set him free. No blood, no remission. And no blood, no New Testament church. For it was the blood of Christ that purchased the church of Christ. In Acts 20, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders and gave them charge in verse 28, he said, "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased." What's the price? With his own blood. But no blood, then there'd be no justification. For it's by the blood of Christ that we're justified, as Paul affirmed in Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. We couldn't be made just or right with God without the blood of Christ. There'd be no redemption, no forgiveness of sins. As Paul said in Ephesians 1:7 of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It wouldn't be possible for us to be made nigh unto God. As Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Because he didn't call 10,000 angels, you don't have to be afar off. You can be made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why be afar off when you can be nigh? But had he made that call and no blood had been shed, there'd be no peace. No peace could be found, for in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul said, having made peace. How's peace made, Paul? Through the blood of his cross. Had he called the angels to set him free, no blood would have been shed. No peace would be found. But because he didn't make that call, we can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. As Paul put it in Philippians 4 and verse 7. Without the blood of Christ, there'd be no purging of the conscience. Does your conscience need to be purged? Come with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, where the writer said that the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's by the blood of Christ that the conscience is purged. Without blood of Christ, there would be no sanctification either. In Hebrews 10 and verse 29, the writer talks about the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. To be sanctified is to be set apart from uncleanness to holiness. And that's accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood of Christ, there'd be no cleansing from sin. As John said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Where would we be if Jesus called 10,000 angels to set him free? There'd be no blood, and without the blood of Christ, none of this would happen. None of this would be possible. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, John talked about the blood of Christ that washes us from our sins. We'd still be in our sins. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23, no hope. So a lot of things hinge on the fact that Jesus shed his blood. And we need to be appreciative of all of that. But also, as you think about, had he called 10,000 angels, not only would scriptures be unfulfilled, no sin would have been born, no intercession, no blood shed. There's something else that I want to emphasize, and that is the fact that there'd be no reconciliation. The word reconcile is used in the sense of parties that have become estranged, separated, and need to be brought back together. It's used of brethren who need to be reconciled, as Jesus talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount. That you need to be reconciled to your brother. It's used of the husband-wife relationship when the Bible talks about, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried, to be reconciled to her husband. And then the Bible uses that in connection with being reconciled to God, like in Romans 5 and verse 10, when Paul said, reconciled to God by the death of his Son. It's not that God needs to be reconciled to us, but we need to be reconciled to God, and sin has created the need for that. It's sin that separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. We become alienated from it by sin, wicked works, as Paul discussed in Colossians chapter 1, 21 and 22, and he said, reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. But had Jesus called 10,000 angels, we couldn't be reconciled to God. But then again, when I think about 10,000 angels, and had he called 10,000 angels, there'd be no gospel. There'd be no good news for me to preach tonight. For the gospel, the good news are glad tidings. Romans 10 and verse 15 is centered around the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Paul preached to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, he reminded them, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. What did you preach when you preached the gospel, Paul? He said in verse 3, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. He couldn't have said that. He couldn't have preached that had Jesus called 10,000 angels to set him free. He went on to say in that he was buried and that he rose again and that he was seen. But none of that would have happened had he called 10,000 angels. Paul wrote the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul could not have said that had Jesus called 10,000 angels. But also, had he called 10,000 angels, there'd be no raising from the dead. There'd be no resurrection. Now, have you thought about the situation if Christ is not risen? A good place to appreciate that is from 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 14 beginning. When Paul said, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith is also vain. Yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then he said, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. What a sad place to be had Jesus called 10,000 angels to set him free. Preaching is vain. I thought it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Not so had he called 10,000 angels. Your faith is vain. You thought your faith was such that it caused you to be a child of God. We're children of God by faith. Galatians 3:26. You thought that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6. But all of that is not true. Had he called 10,000 angels. You thought that when you're baptized, you had the remission of your sins. You thought as a Christian, when you sinned, when you confessed your sins, that he was faithful and just to forgive you. I'm here to tell you that's not true. That you're still in your sins tonight if he called 10,000 angels. That's where we'd be if no raising from the dead. We thought that those who are dead in Christ have hope. The kind of hope that Paul spoke of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God will bring with them. That's not true. They're perished if no resurrection. And had he called 10,000 angels, there'd be no raising of the dead. There'd be no hope. We couldn't read 1 Peter 1 and in verse 3 about being begotten unto a living hope or a lively hope. And he connected that with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We'd be without assurance tonight. It's one of the beautiful songs in this book, Blessed Assurance. We couldn't sing that. For in Acts 17 and verse 31, Paul said, he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Our assurance tonight rests upon the resurrection. That he called 10,000 angels, we'd be without assurance. And he wouldn't have been declared to be the Son of God with power, according to Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4. There are a lot of consequences, aren't there? Had he called 10,000 angels. Another one is we'd be without a mediator. No mediator. A mediator is a go-between. He's our arbitrator. In Hebrews 9:15, it is written, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. And he said that, listen, by means of death. But had he called 10,000 angels, there'd been no death. He wouldn't have died, and we'd be without a mediator. Because he didn't call 10,000 angels, we can read in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But also, had he called 10,000 angels, we wouldn't have the New Testament. Have you thought about that? In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, it was the death of Christ on the cross that took away the Old Testament and ushered in the New Testament. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, there is no strength at all while the testator liveth. If you were to go to the attorney's office and make out your will, you'd be called a testator. A testator is a will maker. And that be your last will and testament. And something has to happen in order for that to be effective. There has to be the death of the testator or the will maker. But had Jesus called 10,000 angels, there had been no death and thus no New Testament. No perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, still under the Old Testament, the yoke of bondage, Galatians 5 and in verse 1. But because he didn't make that call, the old law was nailed to the cross and blotted out. Colossians 2 and in verse 14. But there's something else that occurred to me had Jesus called 10,000 angels. There are a lot of things that the Lord could not have said. There are some statements that he would not have been able to make. And you might like to jot some of these down. Like in John 10 and verse 11, when Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He couldn't have said that, could he? Had he called 10,000 angels. Nor could he have said what he did in John 15, 12 and 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." No life would have been laid down had he come down. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, "God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That statement wouldn't be in your Bible had he called 10,000 angels. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1 and in verse 18, Jesus is reported as saying, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." He couldn't have said that. That wouldn't be in your Bible tonight had Jesus called 10,000 angels. And many other such things he could not have said. And then finally, and lots of other things could be mentioned, but had Jesus called 10,000 angels, there'd be no need for you to be baptized. Baptism wouldn't save. Are you aware that baptism is connected with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus? In fact, baptism saves, Peter said, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 21. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul said this, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Baptism saves because Jesus died and was raised. Had Jesus called 10,000 angels, I wouldn't suggest to you that you need to be baptized. But the fact that he didn't call 10,000 angels, that he died, that he was buried, and that he arose. We preach what the Bible teaches, that there's the real need for you to be baptized. That as Jesus died, we must die to sin. As he was buried, we must bury the old man of sin in the watery grave of baptism, if you will. And as he was raised, we must rise to walk in newness of life. There is a new sphere of life. There is newness of life that's possible. But notice where that stands. It stands between, or after, does it not? That newness of life stands after baptism. That baptism stands between the sinner and that new sphere of life. He said, "Buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And so in order to have that newness of life, we must be baptized into his death. The fact that he didn't call 10,000 angels shows that Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2 and verse 8. And it says that we must be obedient as well in order to be saved. In Hebrews 5 and in verse 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto who? All them that obey him." How many are going to be saved? All them that obey. Does that include us? I hope that it does. I hope that this brief study tonight that comes from that song based on that good scripture, Matthew 26, will cause us to have greater appreciation for the death of our Lord, His burial and His resurrection. To just think about where we'd be had He called 10,000 angels to set Him free. There's a possibility in this audience there'll be one or more who's not yet become a child of God. You're not a Christian. There's no better time than right now to obey the gospel. Recognizing the value of the death of Christ and the blood of Christ, and how that it's in baptism that you avail yourself of the benefits of Christ's blood. Would you come tonight, believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to make the changes that the Lord expects of us as He commandeth all men everywhere repent, Acts 17:30. To confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the bedrock truth upon which Jesus built the church. When Peter acknowledged, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Upon this rock I'll build my church, Matthew 16:18-19. And everyone who enters the church makes that pledge of allegiance, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. And then he stopped the chariot. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If baptism is not important, no need to be baptized, why stop the chariot? Just keep the chariot wheels rolling on down the Gaza road, right? But the fact that he commanded the chariot to stand still tells you something about the urgency of gospel obedience. Would you arise and be baptized and wash away your sins tonight, Acts 22:16? There's another song we sing that suggests he loved me so. Why did Jesus die? Why didn't he call 10,000 angels? Because he loved me so. And that's the very thing that ought to move and motivate us. To hear the Lord, to believe on him, to repent as commanded by him, to confess him, and to be buried with him in baptism, and to be faithful unto him all of our days, because he loved me so. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that the love of Christ constraineth us. And we hope that it'll constrain you, that it'll move and motivate you this evening to obey the gospel. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've drifted away, you've been unfaithful, there's sin in your life that needs to be corrected, would you have the courage tonight to say, I have sinned, to repent of that, and ask for God's forgiveness? One of the beautiful things about the gospel is the pathway the Lord offers for return and restoration. And if you need to return under the shepherd and bishop of your soul, we implore you to come as we stand and sing this song. Won't you come and obey the gospel tonight?
Voice of the Savior.